God, praise God. We thank you, Lord. We give God all the glory. We thank you for this morning. Thank you for his grace, his faithfulness. He has kept us, he has sustained us. We do not take it for granted, oh God. Indeed, it's not by power, it's by your spirit, oh God. May your name be praised. Thank you that, Lord, you can speak to us in a special way. We need you and we give you glory. Thank you for those that have gathered to listen. I pray that indeed the word shall take root in us and that we shall be blessed and taught of you. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you again. And we thank God for another good morning that he's given us. And we've been settling on the gifts of Christ. And remember, we spoke about the ascension gifts. These are the gifts of men that God, that Jesus gave when he ascended. So the Bible says he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And this is what we call either the fivefold or the fourfold ministry or the ascension gifts. And these are gifts of men that Christ gave. And yesterday we looked at the purpose. It was for the perfecting of the saints. Saints need to be perfected. They need to be perfected for the work of ministry. So it's all about a perfection that they are not, in right standing with God. That is already done by Christ in his death, resurrection, and burial and resurrection, and in which when we put our faith in him, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But this perfection is more about preparation, is more about being equipped for the work of the ministry. And remember, we said and we learned yesterday that every church member is a minister. That means that the minister is not just a pastor, is not just the man of God or the apostles, the prophets, but every believer is a minister. And the work of the ministry is done by both the members and also by the fivefold or the leaders of the church. And without the leaders, there can be no followers. And without the followers, there can be no leaders. And these two must work hand in hand together to ensure that the body of Christ is built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And we spoke about unity in the faith, meaning the complete understanding, the mature understanding of the Son of God. And who is the Son of God? It is Jesus Christ, who is the exact image, the exact representation of his likeness, and he is God's manifestation on the earth. He is God revealing himself to men, to angels. And he is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. Because the mystery of godliness is this, or rather the mystery of our religion, which I think it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that great is the mystery of our religion, or without controversy, that God was made manifest in the flesh. He was seen by angels. He was vindicated by the Spirit. And he was preached on in the world. And he was believed by the Gentiles. And you see, so that is the summary of the gospel, that God was made manifest in the flesh. He was, he appeared in the flesh. He was seen by angels. He was preached on in the world. He was believed, and he ascended into glory, and he is in glory today. So that is what we need to learn. And when we know that, when we come to that knowledge of what Christ has done for us, then we are no longer children, and we are no longer tossed and turned about by every wind of teaching. So today, by the grace of God, I wanted us to focus on, start looking at the fivefold themselves, and we want to look at the apostles today. And we are going to read a number of scriptures that help us to understand their purpose, and then from there we shall be able to see that. So of course our core verse is that we have seen that the apostles are a gift from Christ. It is Christ that gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. And so I want us to jump we'll look at a couple of verses that speak of the apostles. And first of all, we'll start with Matthew chapter 10 from verse 1 to 4. So if you can just go there so that we will, today we'll have a number of verses that we'll look at. So don't mind if we keep going up and down. But there's a reason for it, right? So in Matthew chapter 10, from verse 1 to 4, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are this: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebaus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him." Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but rather go ye to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, not yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat or of his keep. And into whatever city or town that you shall enter, inquire who is worthy there, abide there, then do not move from there. And when you come into the house, salute it. If the owner of the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of the house, shake off the dust of your feet." So from the onset, we can see that the word apostles is first of all used by Christ. So before Jesus, before the Old Testament, there was no one who was called an apostle. And this word apostle ideally means a messenger. So whoever would like to use the word apostle is one who is a messenger. And we can see that the first apostles, who we refer to as the apostles of the Lamb, and there can be no other apostles of the Lamb, because these are the 12. These are the original 12 that Christ brought. So in terms of that, remember, but we've also been learning that there were other apostles, which were the ascension apostles, which are the apostles that Christ gave when he ascended. So that means he gave some. So remember, you can see there's a difference. There are those who he called before he ascended. And you can clearly see that when he was on the earth, he called the apostles, 12 apostles, and so some people can put them in capital A, the apostles. But we've also just looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that he gave some when he ascended. So that tells you there's a difference between those that were given before and those that are given after. So there are those that are some that are given after when he ascended. But you see, he had already called these 12 before he ascended, and he gave them power. So what we can see about the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles of Christ, of the Lamb that he called before he ascended, is that he called 12 men. And what we know is that we can see there are certain things that God, that Jesus gave them. One is that he called them by name. They were to be with him. He was to teach them. And then he sends them. Now, when he sends them, these clear things that we see. One is that he gave them the power against unclean spirits, to cast out them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So we can see the apostles, when they are sent out, they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They are empowered by God. They are given authority. And you can see it is not just about using the name. Remember, the sons of Sceva tried to just use the name of Jesus to cast out devils, and the devils beat them. And the one man with the devil, he beat seven sons until they ran away naked. That tells you that it is not just a magic wand that you can just use the name of Jesus as you want, but rather it represents an authority that Christ gives. So you can see that the apostles, they are those who are called with Christ, they were with Christ, they stayed with Christ, and they were called by him, and they were given authority to cast out devils. And then another important aspect that you see is that they were sent to a specific people. You can see Jesus tell them, go to the Samaritans. Sorry, he tells them, go to the lost sheep of Israel. So the 12 apostles, they were sent to Israel. They were told not to enter the Gentiles and not to enter any city of the Samaritans. So you can see that God, when he sends his messengers, he sends his messengers with a specific direction, with a specific people's group. He sends them to a specific purpose. And when he sends them, he gives them a message. And the message was clear. Tell them, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is near. And after you've done that, what you do is you heal the sick, you cleanse the lepers, you raise the dead, you cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So we can see there are clear instructions, and you see even they are given guidance when you go to that place. When you find a man of peace, stay in his house and do not leave it. So it gives us a guidance that even when apostles are sent to a place, they actually need to go and find a church. They need to go and find a man of peace who might be a father of a house, a father of a congregation, speak to him, and when they are given the right hand of fellowship, they are able to establish the message. And that's this pattern. You see it in Paul when he went to Ephesus. He found some noble women and who received the gospel, and they invited him to stay with him. So we can see everywhere that they went, there is a specific pattern that was applied. So the apostles are sent out. Now it is interesting to see that even Judas himself was called as an apostle, and he, however, betrayed him, and he lost his place. So it is sad that I know people believe that you cannot lose your place, but the apostle, Judas Iscariot, lost his place, and his place was replaced. Remember, when we look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, maybe we can just also go there so that we can also see the replacement of Judas. Judas was replaced by Matthias. And you can see that that when, you know, when they were together in prayer, you know, and this is in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says that, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the numbers of the names, you know, that time there were about 120, and he said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs to have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spoke by the mouth of David before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So he's referring to Judas as the one who betrayed him, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. So you can see clearly that Judas was called to be an apostle. He was an apostle of the Lamb, but verse 18 tells us, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, in so as much as the field is called by the proper tongue Al-Kedeldama, that is to say, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, that means his ministry, let another take his place, let another take. Verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John and to that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Look at, anyway, we'll get back into that. And the Bible says, and they appointed two, Joseph called Barabbas, whose surname was Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, and they said, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part in the ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell. that he might go to his own place. And they gave their forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So we can see the first addition of the apostles. So beyond the early church added apostles, and the early church had other apostles. So we can see Matthias is added, and you can see they gave a criteria, and this is where those who don't believe that they are modern day apostles, they give criteria. They say that, okay, it was those who were with Christ, who saw the living Christ when he walked on the earth, who walked with him, who were taught by him. And you can see when they were replacing Judas, they said, can we find someone among us, or who has a criteria? There's a criteria. Who was with us from the beginning of the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us? So you can see, apart from the 12 disciples, remember there were also 72. And remember there was also the crowd. And you see, there were those that stayed with Jesus from the beginning, from the beginning of his baptism until the day he was taken up. Of course, they had the moment where they ran away, where they deserted him, and that one no one can blame them because they were in fear and they did not know what to expect, but Jesus accepted them. Jesus accepted them. And that shows us the grace and mercy of God for his people, in that he, no matter how many times we forsake him, he is still faithful. He does not leave us alone, and he is merciful. But that does not call us to live in sin, but it calls us to be strengthened in faith, that we know that we cannot live in sin, and sin cannot have its mastery over us. But the Bible also gives us the honor and the mercy that we should remember that we have an advocate with the Father. So we can clearly see that the apostles are given a message, they were with Christ, they're given the empowerment to do the work of the ministry, and they have certain characteristics. They have been with Jesus, or they have seen the living Jesus. Now I'll ask a question for those who feel that no one can be an apostle today. Is it possible that Jesus cannot appear to people today? Is he not alive? Now, if he is alive and if he appears to people, then it is possible that those Christ has chosen, he can still call people to be apostles today, and they can see the living Jesus, be it whether in their dreams or in a vision. And they that are called by God, and they that their witness is true, and we can attest to their witness through their word, through their character, through the signs, then we can also believe and say that they are also apostles. And not just to add that, it is also important to note that apart from these apostles, remember now we had 12 plus 1, 13, then we also have Paul, who we know that Christ is God called him to be an apostle. And you can see that even Paul describes himself as an apostle. And if we look at even how he describes himself in his books, maybe let's just look at the first one, like let's say Romans chapter 1, and let us look at verse 1. Let us look at the salutation of Paul. It says that Paul, a servant of Christ, of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you are called of Christ. So you can see Paul describes himself as an apostle, and he clearly says that this apostleship is received by, they received grace and apostleship from Christ. Remember when he was an opposer of Christ, as he was on his way to oppose the Christians and to arrest them. And then as he was going, he was arrested, and he saw the Christ, and he was asked, whom are you persecuting, on his way to Damascus? and him. And then he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And he was said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And then he asked, "What must I do?" And then he was told, "Go into the city, and you will be shown what you must do." So what is clear is that Paul is also an apostle, and there are many verses that speak of his apostle. And even, if you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 9, maybe we can just look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he describes himself as an apostle to the Corinthian church, and where he starts defending his position. And he says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, but doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are you in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine thee is this." So just stopping there, you can see that some people did not believe that Paul was an apostle. And he tells them, he tells the Corinthian church, "Well, even though people don't believe that I'm an apostle, at least, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ?" So he's telling them, if it's arguing about being an apostle, I am an apostle. I am free. I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. And not only that, are you not my work in the Lord? That means he can show by evidence that these are the people that he has raised. He went to a new place. He went to a Corinthian church. He went to the Ephesians. He went to the Macedonians. He went to, all these places over Asia, to the Romans. And he spoke the word of God. He preached the word of God. And he was an apostle to the Gentiles. Remember, they say they recognize the grace that was in Paul, that he was called to the Gentiles, and they also recognize the grace that was in Peter, that he was called to the Jews. So anytime, and one thing you will realize, that anytime Paul went, his main problem never came from the Gentiles. That's one thing you have to note, because he was called to them. And every time he preached to the Gentiles rejoiced. But any time he met the Jews opposed him. His greatest opposition always came from the Jews, because he was not called to them. So you must know who is called for you. Not every man of God is called for you, but there is someone who Christ has appointed. There's a teacher who Christ has sent for you. And when you find that teacher, it is important that you stick with them, or rather, he will also lead you and show you where to go per time. It could be per time, it could be per season, but there's an apostle that is called. So you can see, and even likewise Peter, when Peter was called to the Jews, and he never had any issues with the Jews, but when he went to preach to the Gentiles, that is when his problems occurred. So you can see that if you're called in a certain direction, you must have a specific message. You must have a specific timing and season. You must have a specific word for the people. You have the divine empowerment that Christ gives, and there is accompanying fruit. That's why he says, "Are you not my work?" He can clearly say, "Are you not my work?" And then there's also one thing that also I want to look at. When he says in 2 Corinthians, let's just look at that, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, which speaks of the marks of an apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Yeah, we can jump there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The Bible says, when he was speaking, he says, "Truly, the signs," in other versions it says, "the marks of an apostle are this: truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and in mighty deeds." So signs, wonders, and miracles, or signs, wonders, and mighty deeds are the mark of an apostle. So if God has called you to be an apostle, what are the things that we will see? We will see that God is working out signs, wonders, and miracles among you. And we shall see that, and it shall be evident to all. Not only shall you be communicating a specific message to the body of Christ, not only shall you be called to a specific people, but we can also see that there shall be accompanying signs, miracles, and wonders. And remember, the apostles have a specific message. That's why even in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we are saying that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to the apostles' teaching. So the apostles have a specific message, they have a specific teaching that they're called to, and they release that. So remember, this is something that is important that we see. So I want us also to look at, not in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, I want us to look at the order. There is a reason why God gave the apostles, there's a reason why they are there, and it is because there is a form of what I will call a form of establishment, there's a form of order in the things of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if we can jump to verse 28, it is where we can see there is an order to Christ. There's an order to the things that God has set. And the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, it says, And God has set some in the church. Remember, it's not all, some in the church. The Bible is very distinct how it chooses its word. And God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So, and then verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly, that means desire earnestly, the best gifts. Yet I will show you a more excellent way. And if you go to the next chapter, what is the most excellent way? It is the way of love. So the apostles are set first in rank in the church. Now, there's a reason for that. It's because the apostles, in their teaching, the Bible describes them as wise master builders. And that's why Paul, when he's speaking to the Corinthians, he said, as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation. So the church is founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And God has set in rank, in order of rank, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and those that work miracles. And that is why you will find nowadays that most people want to call themselves apostles, because the church recognizes and the Christ has put in order that the apostles are first. And it's the same way in the family. God has put the husbands to be the first, to be the leaders for the sake of order. It does not mean that the husband is better than the wife, but they are co-heirs of Christ. And rather, it does not mean that the apostle is better than the prophet, or the apostle is better than the helper, which is the help, which is like ushers or the leaders or that. But there is a need for order. Even the devil himself has rank. He has his order, he has his principalities, he has his powers, he has all that. So likewise also in the kingdom of God, there is order. In the church, God has established order. So the purpose they are there is for leadership. And it is important to note that, remember, we've learned that these fivefold, they need the body, and their job is to bring the body to the unity of the faith so that we are all mature and not tossed and turned about by every wind of teaching. So it is important to see that there are various aspects that he teaches about being an apostle. And just the verse that you can look at, which is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, where it says, where it speaks that, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are all fellow citizens with Christ and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built to be a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So remember, that there is, you are built up, the church is built on the foundation of the prophets. So what is apostles and prophets? So as apostles are master builders, they also communicate not only to their own generation. You can see the impact of Paul. Apostles are given dimensional views where they can see transgenerational impact. Their words carry, they have understanding of seasons, of times. They communicate not only to their generation, but even beyond their generation. So when we see, these are gifts that Christ gives to some to be. And I will give you some verses where other people are listed as apostles. And the Bible in Acts chapter 14 verse 4 lists Paul and Barabbas are apostles. So you can see in Galatians chapter 1 verse 19, James is also listed as an apostle. In other apostles listed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 6 is Silas and Timothy. And in Romans chapter 16 verse 7, we see Andronicus and Junia, who are listed as an apostle, and this Junia was a female. So we can see also there's also a woman apostle that was named in the Bible. So what we can see is that there are other apostles that came after the Lamb. We have listed Paul and Barabbas. We have listed Paul and Barnabas. We have listed James in Galatians 1:19. We have listed Silas and Timothy in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 6. And we have listed Andronicus and Junia, whether you pronounce it Junia or Junia, that's depending on where you come from, but it's in Romans chapter 16 verse 7. These are also apostles of Christ. And let us be also, just as a warning, in which we can look at the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 to 5. Let us just look at that, then we will close with that. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 13 to 5. 13, yeah. Second Corinthians chapter 13 verse 13 to 15. Okay, am I in the right chapter? Just a second. Okay, I think maybe I missed that. Just okay, let me just read it. Maybe I think I missed the exact where it speaks of such men are for. Oh, sorry, it's 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I was looking at 2. Yeah, it's 2 Corinthians. Just a second. Just a second. Let me just get you the verse because there's something I want to pick from there. And so that we can know it speaks of false apostles. And that's, yeah, 11, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13 to 15. Sorry, I missed that in my notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15, where it speaks of the warning of false apostles, which I think is important for us to get. So it says, for such, yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 13 to 15, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And do not marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great such thing if also his ministers are also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So one thing we see is that there are also false apostles. We must be warned. And let us know that the Bible says that there are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who also deceive themselves. They camouflage themselves as apostles of Christ. And the Bible warns us that also note that also Satan himself transformed himself as an angel of light. So there are people who the devil has appeared to. They thought it was Christ appearing to them. They think that Christ visits them, yet it is the devil that visits them. And so Satan himself appears to them as an angel of light. So that's why you have to be careful that every apostle that claims to be an apostle must be tested. That's why we are told, test the spirits and see if they are of Christ. You shall know them by their message. You shall know them by their words. You shall know them by their character. You shall know them by their fruit. It is important that let us be sensitive and let us have discernment of spirits, that we do not fall prey to false apostles. So I will stop there for today. And tomorrow, by the grace of God, we shall look at the prophets. And there's still more that you can read. And I pray that God will give you insight into it so that you understand the role of an apostle. And what I will just say, there are things that you don't run into. You can see the suffering that Paul went into. There are things that God gives you by grace. And when he gives you by grace, then it is evident you effortlessly do it. But if you do things for copycat, then you will land into trouble, and then you will not be able to really fulfill the destiny that God called you to do. So it is wisdom to only apply to yourself according to the measure of grace that God has given you. So let us not think too highly of ourselves, but let us apply ourselves. And one of my bishops love to say that there should be many deordinations, in that there are many people who have ordained themselves, but there are times over there they need to deordain themselves. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your teaching today, that, Lord, you're calling us to understand the apostles. You're calling us to understand the truth that you want us to know. I pray that the word shall take root in our hearts, and that, Lord, even for them that you have called to be apostles, I pray that they may receive the confirmation and the calling of the apostle that you've called them, and that your grace may rise and settle in them. I honor, I adore you, and I give you glory. May your name be praised and be worshipped. And even for the needs that I hear, that, Lord, you hear them and you know them. And I pray that you have done it, and I thank you that you've answered. Thank you for healings. Thank you for breakthroughs. Thank you for jobs. Thank you for miracles, oh God. Thank you for those that are trusting for children and for marriages and for opportunities, oh God. And even for those that desire deeper knowledge with you, that, Lord, you may establish them in everything. I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. I welcome you to just keep following. Thank you for watching. And please, if it has blessed you, feel free to subscribe. Feel free to share with others. And this helps out the message go to others. Shalom. Until we meet again. Bye.